Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Doug Glanville, we are working on getting him in. Oh, there he is. He's calling in right now, so that's good. Doug Glanville wrote an article, a great article. And Doug Glanville is being consistent here because Doug Glanville, during the Astros scandal, talked about the steroid situation and how much worse that was in Major League Baseball than what the Astros did, because hundreds of players, quite possibly, maybe, I don't know, maybe even more, lost their jobs because guys who were cheating took their spots. And Doug Glanville was one of those guys who didn't cheat, and because of the guys who were cheating, was forced out of baseball probably earlier than he had to be. So he's joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about his article on ESPN, which is a great article. Doug, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on. Welcome, Houston. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being here. Let's start with the article, and I don't know that you... Okay, first of all, I'd like to know this. Big Poppy was named in the Mitchell report. How come you didn't name him in your article?
Yeah, and you know, people have definitely asked that. And you know, what I've tried to do is just reflect an experience that I directly had in the time period of which I played. And you know, and I tried to sort of frame it. But if I had time to, you know, explore, you know, generational histories way back in, you know, even before I played and continued on, there was a lot more compelling just conversations you could have over individual players and case-by-case basis. But my main focus was saying, okay, this is the era I played, and these are the guys I competed against. And I know that, you know, many of the voters took that into account. That's what they're tasked to do, right, to try to figure out and contextualize the eras of David Ortiz and the eras before that, and try to come up with a synergy. And I think we've proven it's like that's extremely difficult because you have changing rules, changing laws, changing priorities, and which is why like each era had its own burden. So I tried to just at least capture what I knew the best, and that is, you know, my time frame, what I played.
Your thought is that we, okay, not getting the guys in there that did steroids, that we know did steroids, that we shouldn't just be calculators. They broke all the records. It's unbelievable what they've done in baseball and everything else, but we have to have standards. Now, you do call for them, for the steroid era to be represented at the Hall of Fame, just not immortalized, correct?
Right. I mean, you know, this is history, and the Hall of Fame is a museum. It also obviously has this power to enshrine, not the hall itself, but the voters and that they rely on. And so I tried to draw a line in the sand in terms of the difference between, you know, recognizing achievement or just not even achievement, but just recognizing the consequences of someone's, you know, record-breaking abilities and talents and production or whatever it may be. And recognizing that we're honoring how this person went about it and the whole, you know, sort of the task of saying, okay, we're enshrining this person. You know, there's a distinction between being great and being consequential. And the fact that you can tell baseball's history through steroids, and that's important to acknowledge and recognize it and recognize the records and the implications of that. But I think it's now reflecting on, well, do we have to actually, you know, put a plaque up for this person or whatever? You know, do you need to, you know, treat this as something higher, because that is what the Hall of Fame induction sort of sets up, right? You're trying to bring in the best of all time and couch it in like these numbers by which they are judged are authentic. And that's where we ran into a lot of problems, clearly, in the steroid era, because we started to lose very quickly the sight of what do these numbers even mean if how we're acquiring them is not in through honest performance and fair competition.
Doug, do you see the steroid era as not disappearing, but do you think it will be diminished as new generations of baseball fans who are maybe a little more open to anything and everything, which society is much more open now than it was, let's say, 20, 30 years ago, for sure. Do you think that in 10 to 20 years that it will not even be looked at the same way that you and John and myself, we all look at it?
Probably. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's what aging does, right? I'm 51, and each generation is entitled to that. They're entitled to review and consider their future, their conditions of today. You have a generation facing a pandemic. You have a generation that went through 9/11. They see things differently, and they have that right. And they may look at this differently. I know that a lot of the more recently appointed voters were more sympathetic to the steroid, you know, connected players. And I think that speaks to sometimes a generational thing. So, you know, it may change, and there may be something that allows, you know, maybe other players that are coming through that played in that era, they may have a different standard as time goes on. So I guess the short answer is yes, it probably will evolve. But it's also possible to go the other way, where a generation might say, no, we're absolutely closing this off for these players, and they may make that decision. But, you know, I just try to focus in on the period of time where I was so intimately engaged in it, and just share that experience of not just me, but a lot of other players that were looking on, trying to compete on what was a playing field that was not level.
Doug Glanville, former major league player, most notably with the Philadelphia Phillies. That's how I remember you, Doug, as a player and a good center fielder. Unfortunately, pushed out because of guys who were coming up and were using steroids. You say voters will move in and out and continue to reframe the priorities of the time. That's what you were just talking about there.
Right.
They could even decide that idolization should end and we just focus on history. Here's some history, Houston's history. You also quote Tom Murray here, and he says this, "For when you undermine the meaning of fair competition, you celebrate something that has nothing to do with competition or excellence in sport." Jose Altuve seems to be the face for whatever reason, even though it's been proven and talked about. Well, it's been on paper that he was one of the guys that benefited least from the Astros cheating scandal. Mm-hmm. And yet he's probably going to be punished the most, because there's a good possibility that the voters, when they look at Jose Altuve in the future, are going to look at him much like they look at the steroid guys now. No?
Yeah, I don't envy those voters. You know, when the Astros players, and they obviously have a lot of great players that are probably going to reach the point of being in consideration. I don't envy that. And it's difficult, because that is what happens, and that's the frustration of playing in the steroid era, is that you get swept into a lot of things, you know, rightfully or not, because you're just, you know, sort of a guilt by association. And if you're, I'm trying to imagine being on a team that's like going down this road of having this sort of scheme going, and then not, how do you, like, not be involved? Like, okay, or maybe the guy knew the signs and they got to second base, but then you're driving him in. And, you know, I mean, so I'm not sure, because of the culture of, you know, you're trying to look out for your team and these are your teammates.
Okay, sure.
You're still trying to, you know, work through that, but then how do you actually separate yourself? So that's the big challenge. And the voters will have that same challenge of saying, well, we're gonna parse it this way. And I just think the task for the voters just gets harder and harder and harder, because there's so much slivers of other evidence, because we have so much information, social media. Well, I heard this and this guy said that, and you're trying to get at the actual core of information that lets you make an informed decision, and it's harder than ever to get at that.
Let me ask you a question. I've asked this question. Jose Altuve allegedly didn't like it, didn't want them to be banging trash cans. And he was a leader in that clubhouse. I ask, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you stop at Jose Altuve? Because you knew it was wrong. How come? Why didn't major league players? Mike Fiers finally blew the whistle. Why didn't major league players, when steroids was going on, say we can't put up with this anymore?
Well, some players did talk about it. They were drowned out or not really hurt. I mean, even when Jose Canseco and Ken Caminiti, you know, sort of spoke about the numbers, I mean, that's sort of when things started to move. I think there's also a time where you're not sure. Like, there's a difference between, like, oh, I suspect this and I can sense this, right? My expertise tells me this, and, like, the evidence in a court of law, and trying to actually parse that out while you're actually playing. Now, a lot of stuff was going on behind the scenes, and, you know, I was on the Major League Baseball Players Association, you know, having meetings and trying to sort out, like, how do we actually approach this? And, you know, when the thing really hit the fan in terms of the public domain, it was a lot more to understand and making sure, do we even understand, like, what is an advantage and what isn't, what's legal? Just to get through that took time. And there's no doubt that more should have been done or more, you know, and I'm looking in the mirror on this, the Players Association, trying to figure out what is the way to approach it. You know, the big thing conversation then was, why are you testing people without cause? That was sort of a big thing that was brought up. And the questions around privacy and confidentiality, which is really clear in what we're talking about now, like the privacy confidentiality aspects of this, the 2003 survey test that we took to establish more than 5% of the players were using, and therefore we need a new policy or a stronger policy. All that we were sorting at the same time and trying to figure out, what exactly is the extent of the problem, and not just rush to like anecdotes and things like that. So it was slow and behind, and players exploited that, took advantage of that, and then, you know, before you looked up, it was fairly quick that, you know, we were facing records falling and different things that made us look at it differently, because now you question, you know, now history was at stake, and that was something that, you know, like you said, you talk about purists, people who love the game became even more concerned.
Doug, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that was also kind of a no-snitch era, too, where, you know, we used to have Daryl Hamilton, God rest his soul, in studio, and we loved D-Ham. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, he would say things like, why do you guys always, you never talk about pitchers? And we're like, pitchers? No. See, steroids makes you look like Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds. Pitchers would never use steroids. There's no advantage. He's like, okay, that sounds good. But I found it interesting the entire time that Major League Baseball, you know, we can talk about the 5% and the survey, but the fact was there are plenty of Major League players who knew steroids were going on, a ton, and they just chose not to speak about it because, Doug, I would assume, in a way, there was a little bit of peer pressure, I think, or maybe was it just a no-snitch attitude? Well, you know what? I'm not going to be the one to try to bust this thing open because I don't feel like being castigated from the entire sport.
That's a fair point, and there's no doubt, and I'd say that culture still exists in the largest degree because that's a typical clubhouse. That's your team, and, you know. Once again, you step out there, you need to be sure. That's another thing, and you're not, just because someone came in 20 pounds heavier and looks like a weightlifter, you're like, is that really, you know, what does that mean exactly? Or you look at the numbers and say, oh, this guy hit 58 home runs. So you're still kind of living in anecdotes, and you're like, also trying to do a job, and these are part of your job is like playing on a team. So it's very fraught waters to figure out how do you actually go out there and like call people out. Yeah, we had a lot of conversations in the Players Association in our private meeting when we actually tried to sort through policy and, you know, have much more honest dialogue about it. But to go in, you know, into the public domain without a whole lot of the evidence you need and blasting your teammates, I mean, it's really tough. I think what changed a little bit was, I'd say the science feeling was a time where you saw players kind of calling out other players, and that was really unusual. In fact, it really never happened in that way. So I would notice that as someone playing in a different era, like, wow, that's usually kind of keep it in-house and talk through it and then, like, come out. But people were just so openly upset that I think that changed the cultural expectation about, so as you mentioned, the code of silence.
So, Doug Glanville here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Not that you're now all of a sudden a Hall of Fame expert, but since you did write, and it's a wonderful article, you got to go to ESPN.com and read it. What about Pete Rose? You think Pete should be in the Hall of Fame?
No, Rose, you know, and that's something I haven't even updated my information on. I will say this, like, you know, gambling and trying to compare all these things reminds me of going to spring training every year. They used to have the security officer give a presentation, and I call it the seven deadly sins. He'd go in and present about, well, if you do this, if you do this, this is how people trap you. And he went through all of them, you know, and gambling was certainly one of them. And, you know, one of the things I try to look at is when you're undermining, as you just read, like the integrity of the game and creating doubt for audiences, fans, players, everything to say, this isn't authentic. This game is thrown. This game is, these numbers aren't real. I think all those create an existential crisis for the sport. And that's why you have to look at that seriously. And I think gambling certainly falls in this category of like, wait a minute, these games aren't real. Like guys are throwing games, you know, whatever, Black Sox and all these things. And it's clear that it matters how players respond, how they actually address the issue. I went to spring training with the Yankees in 05, and Jason Giambi was my locker mate next door. So you know his, if for those of you don't know his story, definitely look it up. But the thing that was amazing about Giambi is every day the media came to him and said, hey, you know, what about the steroids thing? And he apologized. He was very open and discussed it, and I think it made actually a difference of like how people perceived him. And but then when people just deny and say this and that, and then even though it's like a mountain of evidence against you, even if it's not a positive test or whatever, exactly, there's so much other evidence out there now. And I thought Major League Baseball, you know, we could have, you know, criticism about like all these things or like who was involved, all that. But one thing I thought was an important step is they said, okay, it's not just a positive test anymore. We're going to actually be able to investigate. And so you get these other cases that came up, whether Ryan Braun or, and so, yeah, look, people, these athletes are smart. They know how to protect themselves and mask things and all that. And I just never, didn't want to put all of this on any one player, Rose or whoever, because this was cultural. I mean, this was cultural, and it's not unusual in a hyper-competitive environment that you have culture of people willing to do whatever. That's just pretty standard. It's then what you do with that. And these players are going to be ahead of it. They're just going to be. And the players in that period when I played, they were ahead of it. And they got away with it, and they kind of, and, you know, maybe people even got into the hall, all these things, right? But, you know, your job, you know, if you care about, okay, the hall and all these things, you're trying to profess that fair play and standard, you got to do the best you can to try to mitigate it. And you know, whether Rose, you mentioned, or any of these things, you're trying to, like, be a good steward of the game so that it doesn't become who has the best pharmacist or who has, you know, who's paid off the most, because that's when you don't have a game anymore.
Yep, yep. Doug Glanville. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great article. Go look it up on ESPN.com. Doug, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Great stuff, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
There's Doug Glanville right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.